I think about going through everything we go through on a daily basis, all of us, some of us worse than others, right? Everybody's got a story to tell, and everybody's going through some stuff, trials and tribulations. But if it wasn't for the promises that we receive from God and the things that we look forward to, I would hate to be on this earth going through all of this. What would it be for, right? What would your suffering be for? What would motivate you to wake up to the next day? If everything is bad, every single day it just seems like everything is bad, there's got to be some kind of hope, right? And when we were kids, you didn't like school, but man, you couldn't wait till summer got there, right? And so you started looking toward summertime or looking toward some kind of vacation and Thanksgiving, right? And Christmas. In other words, you want a break from the hardship. So that's what we have in Christ. And then in the study of Job, that's what Job was looking for also. So he was going through all these trials and tribulations. He was in pain all the time. He was suffering. He was suffering not only physically but emotionally, because he had lost everything he had. And he lost all of his children. 10 of his children died. And so he was a father of 10, and then all of a sudden, within an instant, he's a father of none. You know, and then his own wife is telling him to curse God and get it over with. So again, this man is miserable, but he was an upright man that didn't do anything to deserve that stuff. So have I done stuff to deserve what I'm going through? You better believe it, okay? You better believe it. And if God is saying, Eric, it's going to be tough like this for you to the day you die, but after that, you'll go to heaven, I'm okay with that, all right? Not that my body wants that. I'd want to have some good things here on this earth as well, but I guarantee you I'd rather have it bad here and then be in heaven forever than have it good here on the earth and then burn in hell forever. You know, it may be a punishment for the things that I've done, but I'd rather him punish me here on earth than to punish me everlasting in hell, you know. So let's go ahead and turn to Job. And last time when we were studying Job, we were looking at his buddy. He was supposed to have friends that were going to come over and support him. Eliphaz was the oldest of them. And Eliphaz spoke first. And so every time we do an Old Testament study, we always want to relate it to the New Testament. How does that apply to us today, right? Okay, so we are given a commission by Jesus Christ to go throughout the world and preach the gospel, making disciples of everyone. And so whenever you approach someone, you have to be very careful not to judge them. And so judging somebody unrighteously is a bad thing. Okay, and it's not going to have a positive outcome. And we do it, unfortunately, all the time. We look at a person, the way they look, the way they're acting at this particular time, and we're all guilty of that, right? We judge them. Like, man, that guy's on some serious drugs, and you laugh it off like, man, that guy's, look at him slobbering everything. And then what you don't understand and realize is that he's taking a prescription drug that does that to him. But see, you don't know that, right? And so you judge that person unrighteously based on what you've observed. You don't know what that person's going through, right? Just like a person that's on the street. Everybody that's living on the street has a story, right? Why they're on the streets. Some people choose to be. There are people that could be in a house, and if they wanted to, they choose to be on the streets for whatever their reasons are. Everybody's different.
Yes, I just wanted to add, Scripture says, by the measure you judge, you shall be judged.
Okay, that's a good point. Thank you. Because we have to be careful of that as well as children of God, is the measure that we measure other people, then we're saying, God, hey, measure me that way. I'm like, whoa, judge me that way. The same way you judge, do you want to be judged that way? No. So I give people the benefit of the doubt all the time because I want to be given the benefit of the doubt. I've already lived through being judged. People thought I was a Satanist, you know, evil.
That's why it's always God's will for us to be attentive to to the words of other people and what they go through and their suffering, because not only have we suffered, but they've suffered too. We don't know what they've been through in life. And as long as we give a tender ear of listening to their words, you know, and what they say, then we can get the fullness of what's in their heart that they're trying to express to us.
Okay, we come together. They say that, you know, the scripture says that we need to come together so that we can edify one another. How do we edify one another? We got to talk to each other, see what's going on, right? Because what you're going through, you don't know. I may have already gone through that. There's people that live in a house, dressing good and everything, and you think, wow, they really got it. I wish I had my stuff together like that, and not knowing that 20 years they were on the streets, just like you, okay? They just got off the street. A lot of people working around here used to be on the streets, used to be strung out on drugs. You see them working around here, go, oh, man, they got themselves together. You have no idea what their history is. You know, you don't know what happened to them and what they've been through. And I can tell you, a lot of people that work here at this congregation, including Kelly, Kelly's not the only one, right? Myself, a lot of us, probably minus William. William's probably the only one that doesn't have a background like we do. And but the rest of us, we all, you know, we all had our background. And we were all had our falls, and then God lifted us up and put us to work, right? So let's look at Eliphaz, because lesson number one, never try to read your Bible upside down. Okay. So I think what the point I wanted to get with Eliphaz is, with Eliphaz was trying to, of course, he was judging unrighteously, judging Job. This before Job answers. Okay, I think it's 4 where we are now. Okay. Oh, somebody's keep. Who said that? All right, look at that. Carolyn's keeping up. All right, I think, let me see. Secretly brought to me, that's where it was. Very good. We saw Eliphaz coming in and pretty much blaming Job. What he was saying in a sense is that, you remember the story of the blind man? Jesus Christ is there, and the disciples come to Jesus Christ, and they says, hey, Jesus, what did this guy or his parents do to deserve this? I mean, what sin did they commit because this kid is born blind? So it's got to be something either the kid did or the parents did, right? What did Jesus Christ answer and say? This kid ain't done anything. The parents ain't done anything. This is done so that the God may be glorified, right? Because a miracle is about to happen. God is going to restore the sight to this kid that's blind. And so here it is, if you were to look at it, and that's the way they were, judgmental, because that was their culture, is they believe that if there's something wrong with you, then it's something that you did or your parents did to bring that upon you. Eliphaz was the same way. There's a lot of times it's not about what you're going through, all of you. It's not about what you did all the time. It's not about it. Now, some people, you do things and you suffer the consequences. I understand. I'm one of those, okay? I will not blame God, because I know my suffering is self-inflicted. All of it, pretty much. All of it is self-inflicted. It's what I did. It's decisions I made. It's the reason I'm in the situations I'm in. But there's some of you that are suffering and you haven't done anything, okay, to deserve it. And you're going through a lot. But you have to understand, a lot of times you go through that so that you can be somebody that used to be on the streets, used to have go through all these things, and then God delivered you out of it. Now you got a testimony in a sense, right? Now you can tell people what God did for you. And now that gives glory to God, and it shows the strength that what Christ can do in your life. Brother Kelly, goodness gracious, this guy was a thug, okay? A robber and involved in some very heinous activities, and he got this guy out of prison. And while he was in prison, he started getting him, and he became a chaplain. And he started converting souls even in prison. And then he got out. And now he's figured out a way through all these years to spread the gospel throughout the whole world. But this was a bank robber. This was a thug. This is mafia kind of stuff, you know? How do you get a mob boss kind of mentality and mold it to your own and bring this guy in here teaching the truth to the whole entire world. You know? And we can keep going on and on, right? A drunkard or people that were hung out on drugs, the whole bit. Everybody, this, I'm telling you, the people around here got a story. People working around here has got a story. Been here where a lot of you are. And let me tell you, be like Job. Go through it. But understand, you came here with nothing, right? You'll leave with nothing. But the riches that you receive are the wisdom of God. That's the best thing. If you hear the word and you obey the word and your situation does not change here on this earth, you're on the streets before you become a Christian. You're on the streets when you die. You become a Christian, you're still on the streets, and you die still on the streets. But where are you going? Okay, he's going to prepare a mansion, right? You're going to have all the riches in the world. You'll be in heaven. Some people want their heaven right here on this earth. And that's another story for another time. Because you see that in entertainment. There's the music industry, the entertainment industry. And Luciferianism, Satanism, has a way to give you your paradise here on this earth. You got a choice, right? You can make that decision, and things will get better for you, right? Satan will give you your heaven right here on this earth. But unfortunately, your soul belongs to him when you die. Now, that's the part you got to be willing to sacrifice. Eternal soul for a short period of time of happiness.
I like to say that trusting in God is our true riches in this world is his wisdom and knowledge. Amen. And his word in Corinthians tells us, and no eyes have seen, no ears have heard what God has for those who truly love him. And he knows those who are seeking his will. And he touches our hearts and he guides us and he shows us that love and that joy that he provides, that strength that he provides over worldly pains and possessions and things that we don't need. Because he won't lead us astray. He loves us. He never forsakes us.
How about eyes have seen? The mind cannot even imagine what God has prepared for us. Think about that. A lot of us have seen the most beautiful architectural designs, right? Beauty in nature. And now the Bible tells me that in heaven, it's something so beautiful that our minds can't even fathom, okay, what it looks like. We can't even comprehend the beauty that's going to be there in heaven. So that's the best thing. And that's what keeps us going, keeps me motivated, I'm telling you, every day. I mean, just turn the news on. Look at this planet where we're living on right now. The wars, rumors of wars, hatred, just murder and madness and chaos and lies and deception. I mean, it's poison and death and disease and famine. I mean, what keeps you going? What keeps the smile on your face? What keeps you singing? Right? Why? I mean, what keeps you moving on? Why don't we just off ourselves, right? There's a better reason. There's a better way to live. Because God, Jesus Christ, when he came, he taught us not to live in the physical, but to live in the spiritual realm. And so that's what it's all about. So now you have Eliphaz and four. He is basically blasting Job. And I want somebody to read verses 12. Let's see, well, we're going to go 12. Let's go ahead and read. We'll go ahead and do 12 through 22. Or 21, I believe, is the last one. Yeah. Let's just read 12 through 21. And what we're going to find out is when Eliphaz had made his decision that Job has some secret sin. So that's what he was doing. It's like, man, I know the reason you got some secret sin, man. There's got to be something going on. God is not going to put you through that unless you have secret sin, or he's not going to kill your kids unless they were doing something sinful, or he's not going to make you cripple unless you're doing something sinful. You must have did something. That's the mentality of people. They see you going through us struggling, and they think you got some secret sin. There's something that you're doing wrong. You're just trying to hide it. But they're so wise in their own eyes, but they don't understand that a lot of times a lot of us go through stuff so that later on God can be glorified through that. So there's different sufferings. Remember, there's the sufferings that we bring upon ourselves. Why? If you are sinful and you do bad things, it's going to affect you, right? It's just the law of physics. If for every action, there is an opposite or equal reaction, right? That's just fact. You can't get away from that. And so you have to, there's things that if you put out, you reap what you sow, the Bible says. You're going to reap what you sow. You put out bad, you're going to get bad. You do bad things happen to you. That's you being involved. Then there's things when God puts you through stuff that you don't have no idea what you, he's testing you. So then there's bad things you go through because you're being tested. And then there's bad things you go through so that God can get the glory later on. Those are the three things. Those are three ways that we suffer. Just those three. Yes, sir.
You know, that's why we have to understand that God uses us as vessels. But just like Eliphaz discouraging Job, we've got to understand that Satan is out there always. And he can use your brother against you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he can trouble your mind and your thoughts and your words to discourage. God always encourages. He never discourages.
That's right.
You know, we have to be very, very careful about that.
That is very true. Words are very powerful, but that we're called to edify one another. And Job was at his lowest. He had lost all of the possessions. He had lost his kids. He's got sores all over his body from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. He's miserable. He's disfigured. He's in pain. He's suffering. He's emotionally distraught. And all of a sudden, his buddies come over. He thinks he's about to have, oh, good, my friends are here. Now they'll lift me up. And what they do is they pour salt into his open wounds. They stab him in the back. They kick him while he's down. Okay? That's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to use our words to build people up, to edify them, not to bring them down. Anybody want to read 12 through 21? Okay.
A word was secretly brought to me. My ear caught a whisper of it. Admit disquieting dreams in the night. When deep sleep falls on people, fear and tremble seizes me. I made all my bones shake. A spirit glided past my face, and their hair on my body stood on end. It stopped, but I could not tell what it was. I form stood before my eyes, and I heard a hushed voice. Can a mortal be more righteous than God? Can even a strong man be more pure than his maker? If God's places no trust in his servant, if he charges his angels with error, how much more those who live in houses of clay, whose foundations are in the dust, who are crushed more readily than a moth. Between dawn and dusk they are broken to pieces. Unnoticed they perish forever. Are not the cords of their tent pulled up so that they die without wisdom?
Okay, so here we have a situation which we have today. We'll have some wisdom that comes from God mixed in with men's theories, okay? And so that's what Eliphaz was doing. He had the philosophy. It's just kind of like going through and getting a little Plato, a little Nietzsche, and mixing it in with the Word of God. And that's what he was doing. And so what we find out is the reason he sounds like he's a man of God, Eliphaz, when he's talking, and you think, well, why is Job should really be listening? This guy really sounds like he knows what he's doing. But in verse 12, or he knows what he's saying, but in verse 12 it says, now a thing was secretly brought to me, and mine ear received a little thereof. So, secretly. Can you think of some things that were brought to a person secretly, and all of a sudden you have a lot of chaos on this earth because an angel secretly appeared to someone, and all of a sudden you had what? Yes, you had a lot of different organized religions that popped out because somebody was told something secretly. Why would God speak to someone secretly? You know, he says in times past he did speak to the prophets in dreams and visions, right? He says, but now I speak to you through my son. And so here it is, Eliphaz at this time, he thinks he's one of those prophets. He thinks he's a prophet of God because some vision came to him. He says, now a thing was secretly brought to me, and my ear received a little thereof. Okay, now first of all, this entity came to you secretly, whatever it was. And it said something to you, and you received a little bit of it. Not all of it. Notice he didn't even say he received it all, just a little bit of it. He says, my ear received a little thereof. Okay, so you heard a little bit of something that came to you secretly. He says in verse 13, and thoughts from the visions of the night when deep falleth upon man. So this is during the time that you're trying to sleep in the darkness of night. And it says, fear came upon me in verse 14, trembling, which made all my bones shake. Oh, man, something's, I'm feeling something. Something's coming over me. Then a spirit, aha, or wind passed before my face, and the hair of my flesh stood up. So he's about to receive something. It stood still, but I could not discern the form thereof. An image was before mine eyes. There was silence, and I heard a voice saying, shall mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his maker? So Eliphaz basically has some sort of spiritual entity come and visit him at night and give him the words to come and tell Job. Okay? So again, this was not a man that was exercising wisdom, the wisdom of God, to try to edify his brother at his time of need. This is a man who was using worldly philosophy, using things, a little bit of what he heard from a spirit that visited him. And so when you're starting to read the story of Job, and you don't know this background, and you read Eliphaz, and you're studying, and you're following along in the Bible, and Eliphaz sounds like, man, this man seems like he knows what he's talking about. He seems like a wise man. I was very confused later on, as we'll find, that God corrects him. He's mistaken. And what is his mistake? He doesn't know what's going on. Like the mistake we can make when we judge a brother or a sister when we don't know what's going on.
You know, it's just like verse 13 when it says, admit disquieting dreams in the night. Yeah. We have to realize that spirit that he was speaking of may not have been the spirit he thought it was, because, you know, sleeping, dreams come at a time of sleep, and sleeping, dreams are just a state of sleep. Yeah. They're not a reality, exactly. You know?
You've got, there's what we call stage awake, those who study sleep. You have stage one, stage two, stage three, four, and five, which is REM sleep. And a lot of times when you're in stage one, you're kind of going into in and out of the consciousness where you don't really know reality from a dream state. And so some people, they call it daydreaming, and they basically just sit there and they think that these things are happening, nothing's happening. And they says, well, I mean, have you ever had a situation where you thought you did something and you realize that you were actually just sleeping? You thought that this happened, but it didn't. I mean, I've had situations where I found money. I was so happy and woke up and looked in my pocket and it wasn't anything. And I was mad. I thought, oh, no, you know, because I had found so much money. I was like, oh, this is great. And when I really started walking, I realized that I was just daydreaming. There was no money in my pocket. And so here he is in this situation where he's probably sleepy. Lord only knows that there's two kinds of spirits, right? There are the good spirits and there's the bad spirits. So we don't know what spirit came to him. And why would God visit Eliphaz and tell Eliphaz something to go and destroy and bring down and kick Job when he's already down? So we know that didn't come from God. Only good gifts come from God, and not destructive things like Eliphaz was bringing. He was basically, you know, bringing in. We're in Job chapter 4, verses 18 now. And he says, behold, he put no trust in his servants, and his angels he's charged with folly. Now, there's a little bit of truth in there? Did the angels that didn't keep their estate, did God punish them? Yes. Okay, that is true. And the servant is not greater than the master. That's true also.
Amen. We also have to keep in consideration that the Old Testament talks about familiar spirits, and they manifest themselves through tradition. And a lot of times these things are passed down through tradition, but the familiar spirits, as the Bible teaches, are real.
Yeah, they're definitely real. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like I said, there's one, it's either a spirit that comes from God or it's a spirit that comes from the dark side, you know. But again, the proof is in the pudding. The proof is, the Bible says you'll know the tree by the fruit that it bears. So was this good fruit coming from Eliphaz when he was falsely? First of all, we understand in Job chapter 1 that Job was an upright man. Job was a man that God was pleased with. Job was not committing these crimes that he was falsely accused of. He didn't have some secret sin. So Eliphaz was wrong. So why would God give Eliphaz information that's wrong? So he wouldn't. So all of this tells you that spirit that visited him, it wasn't of God at all. Good old Eliphaz. And then in verse 18 it says, "Behold, he put no trust in his servants, and his angels he charged with folly." Yes, he did that, right? And then how much less in them that dwell in houses of clay. How much less are you? You're a human. You dwell in a house of clay. I mean, if God took care of the angels and punished them, who do you think you are, Job? Again, there he is, being really nasty towards Job. It says, "Whose foundation is in the dust, which are cursed before the moth. They are destroyed." Man dies, goes back to dirt. We understand that. Verse 20, "They are destroyed from morning to evening. They perish forever without any regarding it." And it says, "Doth not their excellency which is in them go away? They die even without wisdom." Now, we understand that the nature of man is we come to this earth. We are lower, okay, than God himself. Of course, he's the master. And then there's the angels. And then he says, even if the angels were punished by God, and they were destroyed in a sense because they lost their estate. Okay, they're going to be everlastingly separated from God. They are already, I mean, but they'll be in everlasting punishment, is what I mean, from God. So then man comes to the earth, and man, yes, you're going to be destroyed too if you do bad things. You'll go to ashes as well. And he's saying, who are you, Job? Who do you think you are? You think you're better than the angels? You're going to escape this, you know? And so again, Eliphaz is coming to the conclusion that Job has a secret sin. Job is being punished by God, and there's no way around it. Eliphaz is judge and jury of Job's situation, but he's wrong.
I believe Job was standing on the promises of God, and he trusted his Heavenly Father.
Exactly. Yeah, he definitely trusted his head to. I mean, what did he say when he lost everything? "God giveth, God taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And he worships God. And the Bible says he did not curse God, and he did not blame God. Now, how many of us get upset with God when our situation is bad? I mean, be truthful. God, why? You know? Oh, can't you just give me a break? What? Right? I mean, let's be truthful. Let's be truthful. Is that true? We're human. Now, the good thing about that is that does God know that we're human? He knows that because his son came down here in human form. And his son was tempted in all aspects of, I mean, all areas that we're tempted, but without sin. And now he's able to be our advocate to the Father, okay? He's able to be our mediator, our go-between. He's the one that tells us, don't be mad at servant Eric, okay? He's human. And during this situation, that's how humans feel. They don't mean anything about it. They're just venting. And we find that out from Job, right? Because Job tells them later on, it's like, man, I'm in distress. I'm going through a lot of stuff right now. The stuff that I'm telling you, that when I told you I didn't want to live in it, I wish I'd never been born, all these things. I'm telling you that while I'm in distress, physical distress. Okay, I was going to ask where truck was so I can see where we were on our time. All right, so we're pretty much at that point. So let me see. Eliphaz is going to continue again in verse 5. Eliphaz is going to continue to falsely accuse Job, and then Job afterwards is going to speak. So we'll see if we can go through that a little bit quicker last time. I was just trying to do a recap because we had a little time in between. So are there any questions or comments before we conclude? I'm looking over the audience. No questions, no comments. Yeah, one? No? You're good? Okay. All righty then. So we'll get back into the lesson next time. We'll try to go through Eliphaz and summarize that, since we know what type of wisdom he has. And we know the things that he's, okay, thank you. And we know that he is not utilizing the wisdom of God. So his second speech will be a little quicker. We can go through that, and then we can go into Job's response, because Job is going to respond to Eliphaz. All right, may God add a blessing to the reading and studying and the hearing of his word this morning.